In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We have the purpose of life, the meaning of life. What is salvation today? In the words of St. John. We also have some rather frightening things. And if we concentrate only on the frightening things, then we really will be in a bad way. Because he says things that are very hard to understand. Remember, he's speaking from the point of view of someone who is in union with God. And as one in union with God who has achieved theosis in this life, he didn't sin anymore, which means that he had no desire to sin. He had no inclination to sin, no weakness towards sin. We all have those things, and sometimes we give into those weaknesses. Can you imagine, though, to not have any desire to sin, to not have any inclination whatsoever to sin? This is what we are called to be. We're made in God's image, and we will obtain his likeness. And it speaks of that in this epistle. The other things are important to talk about, but I think this is the most important thing, because this is what we are trying to understand. This is what we're trying to become, what St. John speaks about in his epistle. And this is the perfect time of the year to try to attain this, even if only a little bit more. So what he says is this: Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not appear yet as what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath in this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. This is the unction that we have that he spoke about earlier in the passage. The unction, of course, is the anointing of the Holy Spirit, which comforts us, since the Holy Spirit is our comforter, and speaks to us in words that cannot be said in any human language, in groanings that cannot be uttered, about who God is and what our purpose is and who we are and who we shall be. We have no idea how beautiful heaven is. We have no idea how beautiful it is to be completely at peace. None of us have ever known that. Only a very few human beings in this life, on this earth, have known that. John was one of them. The Holy Theotokos was another. I believe Saint Seraphim Masarov was another. The majority of the saints that we look at on our walls did not achieve this perfection in this life. They came close, but they did not achieve it in this life. But certainly St. John, the Theotokos, and I believe St. Seraphim and a few others did. To actually become like God, to be full of knowledge. When it says we shall see him as he is, this means we shall see reality as it is. We never see reality as it is. We get fooled by light and shadings and by emotions and by misunderstandings and by ignorance. We never see things as they are, ever. What a tragedy. We were made with eyes that look forward and can look up, and a brain and a soul that should be able to know the truth of the matter in every single thing. And yet, because of our sin, because of our darkness, we don't see things as they are. But in the next life, we shall see things as they are. We shall see that God made everything and it was good. Everything and it was good. And then we sinned. And then we were no longer able to see good. Even when good was occurring, we could not see it as it truly was and truly is. But we can, in the next life, see everything as it is, everything as it is true. He said another thing earlier in the epistle about truth. Now, this is the apostle of truth, right? The apostle of love, but I should say truth too. Because you can't have love without truth. I just recently heard a little tale about Metropolitan Nufri, of the true Orthodox Church in Ukraine. The one that says they are the true Orthodox Church is not the true church. They are imposters. They are spiritual criminals. And we must be willing to say that. Metropolitan Nufri is a saintly man, I believe. I've read some of his things. I see how he has reacted to this schism. And he's with great dignity, with great love, but also with steadfastness and truth. There was an occurrence, I think they were in the Holy Land, and some of the people around him wanted to celebrate a feast day, but they were going to feast, I think it was Saint Spiridon, which would be on December 25th on the new calendar. Excuse me, on the
on the old camp. December 25th, December 12th, new calendar, church calendar. For us, it would be December 25th, right? So I got the math wrong. It's December 12th, which is the December 25th on the civil calendar, right? So on the day when they would be, so they were actually celebrating St. Spirit on the new calendar day, December 12th. And Metropolitan Onufri and some of the bishops with him, they were just standing by and they were watching everything. They were not participating. And someone said, Vladika, this is a great feast day. Don't you want to participate? And he said, if they will change the calendar, what else will they change? What else are they going to change? This is a man that is very sanguine, very peaceful, but he knows that if people give into falsehood, more falsehood follows. Now, I'm not trying to say that everybody following the new calendar isn't deeply in falsehood, but it is a movement towards falsehood. There's no doubt about it. And many people are part of that, but most people are not. But by and large, it is a movement moving towards falsehood. Look at what's happening. If you know what's happening in Ukraine, it's just despicable. How many people are being hurt physically, and the theological, not just the schism, but the theological errors. And if you look at what Rome is doing, and of course, the Patriarch of Constantinople wants to be united with Rome. He's made no secret about that. He's getting bolder and bolder. Even what Rome has said in the person of the Pope in the past few years and just recently too, absolute unmitigated heresy. The kind of heresy that the saints did not commit and had their hands burned off because they would not sacrifice to idols. And yet the Pope is speaking of venerating idols as some sort of indigenous way of worshiping God and worshiping and giving veneration to the saints. This is not true. We must live with love, but love is truth. Love is truth. And the apostle says this. Let me see. I think I marked it. He says, you have an unction from the Holy Spirit and you know all things. I have not written to you because you know not the truth, but because you know it, and no lie is of the truth. Nothing that is untrue is good. I struggle with this as a priest sometimes. There's something I'm aware of that's really terrible, and it's going to hurt people when it becomes known. And I know it, and I must tell it. When it is the right time, I must tell it. And it breaks my heart that I must tell it. It may be received, it may be not, but I cannot sit on something that I know and pretend it is not true. I can't do that. And neither can you. So we must live with great courage in this life, because we must proclaim the truth. Mostly, you must proclaim it by the way you live. You must proclaim it by knowing that you have an unction of the Holy Spirit, and therefore you have a responsibility to live with righteousness. You have a responsibility to live according to your destiny. Your destiny is to see things as they are. You can only see things as they are if you become as those things which are. An unholy man cannot see holiness. A prideful man cannot see humility. One who does not love does not know love. Or one who loves in an imperfect way cannot know perfect love. So this is our goal in life, is to become as the apostle is speaking. It's a great and a lofty goal. And sometimes it means very difficult and messy things, especially if you're a priest and you have to proclaim the truth even when maybe somebody doesn't want to hear it or when it might not be followed. The most important thing for you and I is not whether or not we expose falsehood in others or in institutions or in anywhere we go that we might have influence. The most important thing for you and I is, are we going to live according to the truth? Are we going to live according to this reality that God made us in his image to be like him? And if we are like him, then we shall see him as he is. And if we see him as he is, we shall know everything as it is. Not as it appears, but as it is. There will be no falsehood in the next life. Everything will be known. There won't be any spin. There won't be any confusion. There won't be any ignorance. There won't be any plausible deniability. Everything will be true, and we will know all things. But if we don't live struggling to have that truth now, then when that truth is revealed, it will burn us and we will be ashamed. So we must struggle to have truth now. Now, the things the apostle says, when I was younger, I read them and they were quite frightening to me because I think, how am I ever going to be a person who doesn't sin? He talks about, he whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. What does that mean? By the arithmetic, by rules of logic, that I don't abide in him because I do sin? Well, the explanation is God is merciful. And if we are struggling for the truth, God will bring us to it. Just like the prodigal who came to his father, stumbling, sick, starving to death, weak, he would not have made it to his father to give his repentance to his father, except his father came to him. That is the answer. St. John is writing from an exalted point of view of someone who has attained the truth and knows the truth. We are stumbling towards the truth. But let us stumble forwards, not backwards. And God will lead us to the truth, and we shall know everything as it is. What a wonderful thing to be willing to struggle for, to die for, to make a stand for, to say our prayers for, to love our enemies for. May God bless you and help you in all things.